Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into The Molecule of More by Daniel Z. Lieberman and Michael E. Long Sophie, have you ever caught yourself thinking, I'll be happy when I get that promotion or that new phone?
Hey there, Sam, I do that all the time. This book explains why. It's all about dopamine, but not as the pleasure molecule. The authors call it the molecule of more because it's the chemical of anticipation, desire, and pursuit.
So it's not about enjoying something. It's about wanting it. That's why the first bite of cake is always a little less exciting than the thought of eating it.
Exactly. Dopamine is the promise, not the reward. When you imagine the cake, you get that thrill. When you actually eat it, the dopamine system quiets down, and the opiate system takes over for the real pleasure.
So we've got two different brain worlds, one for the present moment and one for the future, and they're constantly arguing.
Right. The here and now brain handles your senses, your emotions, your physical touch. The future brain runs on dopamine. It doesn't care about what you have, only what you could have. That's the split that gets us into trouble.
And yet that split is exactly why we've got modern civilization, right? We can imagine a better spear or a better farm and then go make it real.
Yes. The authors say this tension is a feature, not a flaw. The ability to use dopamine to picture a future that doesn't exist yet is what lifted us out of pure survival mode.
But there's also a darker side. The book talks about two dopamine circuits. The desire circuit is the impulsive urge to grab instant rewards. Then there's the control circuit in the prefrontal cortex, which helps us plan and delay gratification.
And the battle between those two circuits is basically the drama of being human. The desire circuit is like a hungry toddler. The control circuit is the adult trying to keep you on track.
Okay, so in love, which one shows up first? Because the book says falling in love is totally dopamine-driven.
Oh, absolutely. When you fall for someone, you're not in love with them as they are. You're in love with the possibility of them, the imagined future together. Every date is a new discovery, and that's pure desire circuit.
So that's why the spark fades after a few years. The novelty runs out and dopamine quiets down. But we treat that quiet as the end of love instead of the beginning of something deeper.
Right.
Mature love runs on the here and now chemistry of attachment, trust, companionship. It's the opiate system giving you peace and contentment. The challenge is to transition without chasing the next romance to relight the dopamine.
And the same thing happens with stuff. You buy a new car and you're basically in love with the idea of driving it. Then you own it and it's just a car. So you start wanting the next thing.
That's the hedonic treadmill. The authors aren't against ambition. They see it as a powerful force. But if you're not careful, you become a slave to the molecule of more, forever chasing a future that never quite arrives.
So, is that also what's going on with addiction? Because the book says the addict isn't seeking pleasure. They're seeking the anticipation of pleasure.
Yes, and that changes everything. Addiction is a hijacked dopamine system. Drugs, gambling, social media flood your brain with unnatural dopamine spikes. The moment of consumption is often disappointing, but the craving stays. And here's the wild part. The opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection.
That hit me hard. We usually think the opposite of addiction is just quitting, but the book says the here and now brain, with real human connection, is the only force strong enough to pull you back.
And that same dopamine system is behind creativity and madness. The genius imagining a masterpiece and the person experiencing delusions are both using the same chemical. The difference is whether the control circuit can ground the imagination in reality.
So the line between brilliance and psychosis is really about how well you can test your visions against the real world. That's honestly a little scary to think about.
It is, but it also means the same drive that creates art and science can spiral when unchecked. The book calls that the thin line between genius and insanity.
So how do we find balance? The authors don't give a three-step plan, which I actually like. They talk about integrating the two worlds, using future goals to enrich the present moment.
Yes, the most fulfilling activities combine both. Playing an instrument, having a deep conversation, taking a challenging hike. You're striving for something while being completely immersed in the sensory experience. That's the dopamine balance.
And then you look at modern society, and it's basically engineered to break that balance. Social media gives you unpredictable little rewards, keeping your dopamine circuits firing nonstop. Processed foods, video games, all of it.
We're living in a state of perpetual anticipation, always looking for the next notification, the next like, the next bite. That's a recipe for chronic dissatisfaction. So the book says we have to be intentional, recognize when we're being hijacked, and choose to step away.
Okay, so the practical takeaway for me is this. The goal isn't to have more. It's to be more, more present, more connected, more alive in the actual moment. Dopamine is a brilliant tool, but we don't have to be its servant.
And if you want to explore the full framework, the whole library is waiting on the 7-Minute Books app. You can read or listen to over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. Just head to 7minutebooks.com/app. So the molecule of more will always pull at you. The real freedom is learning to balance that pull with the richness of right now. We'll see you in the next one.